Every city with an NFL team has their own wizard assigned to it. And they're all fighting. The Wizard of Chicago has a scepter with a sausage on top of it.
Machiavellian is Illuminati all through your body. The blow's like a 12-gauge shot.
Feel me? And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. My flesh.
Welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. Here we are again with me, Richie Molino, and Sean Keen. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Feeling good. Ready to attack this poetry today.
Yeah, it's a lot of poetry today. We have two really tough songs to explicate today. We are dealing with Tupac Shakur's Hail Mary, and we are dealing with Friends in Low Places, recorded by...
Chris Gaines.
recorded by Chris Gaines, a.k.a. Garth Brooks, but written by two other gentlemen that we'll get to that when we get to it. Every song ever written is actually about one of three things: heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings.
Heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings.
First up, we're going to do Tupac Shakur, and we are joined this week by comedian and podcaster Aaron Brooks. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, I'm great. You guys?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
Aaron has a very bizarre podcast called The Lanalax Corporation that is, don't listen to it if you're already on acid because it will be bad. I start doing it. It's like doing DMT. Do it sober first, you know? I think the elements involved in this, Aaron, we've got a sort of a choose-your-own-adventure D&D type scenario going on.
Somebody described it as Dungeons & Dragons meets Black Mirror. And it's basically like an improvised 30-minute story where somebody always dies, a grisly death.
I was wondering about that because I've listened to several of them and they all end in a grisly death. And I was wondering, is there any escape once the Lanalax Corporation has set its sights on you, or are you just fucked?
So at this point, we have almost 540 episodes.
This podcast comes out 5 days a week.
And we've been doing it for years. 2 years.
It's a lot.
So in the history of like the 500 plus episodes, there are maybe like six wins where somebody's like escaped.
Six people have survived?
Yeah, they're very, very, very rare.
But they're just still alive.
They just haven't
gotten killed yet.
They come out of it not dying. My mom didn't die when she did the podcast, but she got stuck in a YouTube buffering loop for all of eternity. Like physically, she got stuck. You just got to listen. It's real dumb.
And you also have an album out, Aaron, called Secrets.
Yep.
That they can just listen to it on iTunes and Bandcamp, right?
Yep. It'll be, Yep, that's where it is.
Cool. And something I really liked about Lanalax Corporation, when something is said, it's canon. As soon as it comes out of your mouth, it's real.
Yeah. The trick of it is like you constantly have to like retcon the universe and explain yourself out of any corner that you've painted yourself into.
Right, yeah. I heard a guest last week or 2 weeks ago be like, well, but that wouldn't that be like this then? And you're like, well, no, actually, because it's the like whole universe around
you go
choice.
You go home and like talk to your best friend whose name is Bill Fartmouth or whatever.
And like, wasn't his name Bob? He changed his name while you were gone.
He was Bill, and then one summer you came back and he's all of a sudden going by Bob and nobody mentioned it. So there's a lot of that. It's very dumb.
It's a lot of fun. Shit. I can't believe we're going to tackle this song. I'm a huge Tupac Shakur fan, and I have a hat sitting right next to me with Tupac's name on it. One of my favorite rappers. He's very imagistic. He's very free-flowing. In fact, a lot of my understanding of how a lot of, well, not only just Tupac, but a lot of big-time rappers just go into the studio, bust for an hour and a half, leave, and then a producer kind of assembles songs out of
that.
And with this song, Hail Mary, this is the only album he released as Machiavelli. He changed his name, Prince style, to Machiavelli for the last album of his career. This is a really spooky song. Like, this is one of the spookiest rap songs out there. Don't you guys think?
Yeah.
It's got the tolling of the bell in there.
Yeah.
And then if you watch the music video, it's about essentially Tupac. The song and the music video were released after Tupac's death. And the music video features a tombstone that says Machiavelli on it being ripped open and apparently some spirit coming out and taking revenge on whoever killed that person, or whoever, yeah, killed that person, then put his best friend in jail, is, I think, the way it works in the music video. This song was, this song came out in 1996. Tupac was also murdered in 1996. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to exclude the lyrics or the verses by Italo Joe, Young Noble, Castro, and Gaddafi. Also, I will be omitting the N-word. Machiavelli in this, Caluminati, all through your body, that blows like a 12-gauge shoddy. Feel me. And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me, eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me, Hail Mary. Run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you want to ride or die? La, 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 la. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Peeped the weakness in the rap game and sewed it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See people coming for me through my diamonds when they glistening. Now pay attention, bless me please, Father. I'm a ghost in these killing fields. Hail Mary, catch me if I go. Let's go deep inside the mind of a madman that screams in the dark. Evil lurks, enemies see me flee. Activate my hate, let it break to the flame. Set trip, empty out my clip, never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted, fuck this shit. Stuck people is lucky if we bust out this shit. Plus mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world if they can't adjust. It's just as well, Hail Mary. And the chorus again. One more verse. Penitentiaries is packed with promise makers. Never realized the precious time that bitch people was wasting. I think I'm doing people instead of, yeah, okay. Never realized the precious time that bitch people was wasting. Institutionalized, I live my life a product made to crumble. But too hardened for a smile. We're too crazy to be humble. We ballin'. Catch me please, Father, cause I'm falling in the liquor store. Past the Hennessy, I hear you calling. Can I get some more? Hell till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checking in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with no screws in it. What can I do? One life to live, but I got nothing to lose. Just me and you on a one-way trip to prison, selling drugs, we all wrapped up in this living life as thugs. To my homeboys and Clinton Max doing their bid, raise hell to this real shit and feel this. When they turn out the lights, I'll be there in the dark, thugging eternal through my heart. Now Hail Mary, people. now Hail Mary, person. And then the other verses, which I'm willing to bring those into it, but I think Tupac's verses have an outsized role here.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Any big ideas? Any of you guys have a hard case of what you definitely think this is about? Because I have a lot on all three.
I have like kind of an overarching theory about this.
Okay. Yeah.
I think this song is about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think you need to think of the title not as in Hail Mary, like Jesus' mother, but Hail Mary, M-E-R-R-Y. Hail Mary a duck.
Mary a duck.
And I think that this is about, I think Tupac is taking on sort of the POV of the King of the Dead.
The King of the Dead. Aaron, by the way, are you into Lord of the Rings at all?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like
super hardcore.
Super, super.
So these are, I mean, they're alternately known as the Army of the Dead and the Dead Men of Dunharrow. Sometimes they're known as the Oathbreakers. They promised to help Isildur in his battle, but when he went to fight with Sauron, they broke their oaths. They didn't go, and they started hiding in the caves, beneath the Dwemerberg in the Valley of Herodale. That's in the shadow. But normally, they really just stayed in the mountains unless it was a time of trouble or death. So I think that Tupac is reaching out to an audience that maybe is not as familiar with Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm, and so he's like, well, what's the metaphor?
You know how like Lucas based Star Wars Kurosawa's.
Kurosawa? Hidden Fortress?
Yeah, Hidden Fortress. Yeah. This is basically the same thing, but like there's no reason to say that. You just do it.
Yeah. And there's a real parallel because a lot of this, when Tupac's talking about the penitentiaries and there's no way out, that was kind of the paradox for these men of Dunharrow is that they had given some of them had worshipped Sauron and they could only be released if there was an heir of Isildur who did it. Well, he didn't have an heir publicly for a right. long time, so they were stuck with no way of parole. And, you know, it's like they made a bad choice at one point, but now they and their families are basically doomed. Prince Italjo, am I saying that right? Italjo?
I've never heard it said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm pretty sure that this is Aragorn traveling this weary road. Mm-hmm. Life can be a heavy load.
We won't worry, every team will curry. Yes, we're free like a bird in the tree. We're running from the penitentiary. This is the time for we leave El Merry.
Free like the bird in the tree. He's talking about the white tree, of course.
He's the only optimistic person in the right. song. Everybody free, else is like, yeah. we are going to die. We're going to the graveyard and fuck you.
Yeah. But and this guy's Ital like...
Joe comes in and goes like, no, everything's going to be fine.
I'm going to free you from this oath. You're not bound. Everything's going to be free. We're running from the penitentiary. We're leaving those mountains.
Right.
This is the time for liberty. We're going to go see Meriadoc.
And so, but who's... Yeah. Is Tupac sort of the narrator?
He's the king of the dead.
Oh, right. He's the king of the dead.
Who's like the most powerful, the most scary, and ultimately responsible for their fate.
For both the negative part of their fate, but he's in despair, like reaching out, being like, come back and let us finish this.
We were wrong. We can do some good.
He's going to redeem
stuck
himself.
In here. Yeah.
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 Right.
And then, yeah, it's like Hail Mary. We gotta save that guy because he's fighting the Witch King.
Right. The Hail Mary in this case is like, I guess on the one hand, believing Aragorn that this is going to get them out of their... Because...
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I think, again, he's made an adjustment. He's actually saying it Hale Mary. And he's like... Healthy Mary. He's still... Yeah. He fought this Witch King and he's still alive.
Is Meriadoc with Aragorn when he goes to make the deal?
No, he's in Minas Tirith fighting the Witch King. Okay, so they're like, we got to bail this dude out.
Why doesn't it work? I think this is a good theory, but I don't think you need that adjustment because a Hail Mary, taking it away from the Virgin Mary and just have it used the way it's used in football. It's like a last ditch effort.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I think that's fine. I like that.
I don't think you need the adjustment with it being Meriadoc.
Hmm.
I think Castro and Gaddafi are Pippin and Merry, K-Blasted off Hennessy and Ty Chronic. I think those two, at least in the movies, were like the most gluttonous of the four, I think, where they were like seeking out and complaining that they weren't having sort of the creature comforts of the Shire.
Sure. I think all that's pretty interesting because I do think this song, other than Italjo's verse right at the end, which is sort of this reassuring verse saying like, no, he says, we won't worry, everything will curry, meaning everything will mix together well.
Well, you know, and he's saying everything will curry. I think this is sort of a premonition to Steph Curry, also a player from Oakland and known for his sort of like buzzer beating long range shots.
Yeah. Hail Mary shots. Okay. Yeah. Because I do think that there's like, overall, the song has a very like doom and gloom, like everything's bad and it's only going to get worse kind of vibe to it, which kind of for me, I'm indulging this. I'm not convinced yet about this, but I do like this King of the Dead idea. Tupac, throughout his career, had talked about, like, I don't know, he doesn't necessarily say that he has a death wish, but he's always anticipating his death.
Like, it's not a death wish. It's just an awareness that it could happen at any time.
Yeah, it's a premonition kind of feeling. It's interesting. Tupac has said that a couple of his biggest influences musically were Kate Bush and Don McLean.
The American Pie guy.
The guy who wrote the song about fucking a pie.
Exactly. Same guy. There's this song called Vincent that's about Vincent Van Gogh, and it's this very, very much like saying that an artist won't be understood until after they're dead kind of idea. And Tupac cites that song as one of his original or one of his most central inspirations.
Really?
Because he wanted to be that brilliant artist who was only understood after he died.
Well, and he lost a nut, like Vincent Van Gogh lost one ear.
Tupac lost a nut?
He did.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What?
He got shot a lot.
He got shot in the nuts? Oh, in the nuts?
Yeah, I think it was when... I don't remember this exactly, but I think this is when Puffy had some guys try to rob him at that recording studio, and he got shot like three times.
This is very...
And it led to Hit 'Em Up.
Oh, wow.
This is very spicy talk, of course.
He almost changed his name to One Pop.
So I don't know if he got shot off or he got removed during surgery, but yeah, he only had one ball at the end of his life.
That's fascinating. I mean, is that's confirmed?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, yeah.
Let's Google how many nuts did Tupac have.
There are documentaries out there that spicy stuff.
I'm throwing out some accusations today.
Yeah, for real. Now, as far as this is a lot of interesting stuff here. Now, as far as butt sex stuff, everybody back in those days was accusing everybody else of being gay. It was so stupid. Tupac did it himself. He called Dre gay, and maybe Dre, there's possibility that Dre's bi. But it was just like all these accusations being thrown around back and forth. And even this year, the game's manager, who's called Whack 100, again went back in time and accused Tupac of being gay for some reason. And he did this on Mike Tyson's show or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Tyson, like, there was this rumor that Mike Tyson beat his ass for calling Tupac gay. It doesn't really matter whether Tupac had any bisexual tendencies. I don't really see much about it.
To my homeboys and Clinton Max.
Sure. He was in prison for a long time. You know, he is a gorgeous man.
Young Noble does say he once had to hustle till dawn.
Hustle till dawn. You would assume that would be a drug hustle, not.
But if he was a male prostitute, he'd be a hustler too.
And other times he calls them his little homies, which is a common phrase. But you know, in Hit 'Em Up, he says, "I don't even know why I'm on this track. I'm gonna let my little homies ride on your punk ass." You know, in what is it? Live and Die in L.A. I think it's on this album where Tupac says, California Love Part 2 without gay ass Dre. So it was on his, like, homosexuality is at least on his mind. And it is Come With Me, Hail Mary, Run Quick, See What Do We Have Here Now. What do we have here now? Something strange might be, you know, like sex with your bandmates. You know, it's very, but I don't know. I'm not too huge on this being about butt sex.
Yeah, he pretty early in the song talks about getting pussy too. That he's like,
he does, and it's like, just like the way Freddie Mercury starts talking about fat bottomed girls. You know, like, okay, but okay, yeah, I'm not getting much on butt sex with this heroin. This song is so much about life and death and trials and tribulations. I just don't. It's just the song itself. The end result is kind of a sexy song, but it's sexy and kind of a dangerous, like, put on the background. And
you're getting it on in a graveyard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I asked my friend Mike what his favorite song to have sex to was, and he said, No Quarter by Led Zeppelin. I was like, oh, there have to be dragons and swords in a song before you're really into it. Yeah, so I don't think that's a song can be sexy without being about sex, and certainly without being about butt sex. For this to be about heroin, geez, it's really tough for this to be about heroin. I'm not seeing much. You guys seeing anything?
He talks about going to jail, obviously.
Yeah, and his sort of death wish type mentality is sort of this overall, like, sort of like, if you're not a victim, make yourself a victim and kill yourself
mentality. Feel like when I read this, I felt like the closest I could get to heroin was like the consequences of doing and or selling heroin.
Yeah,
right. Drugs. Yeah. Like, cause they're all talking about selling drugs. You know?
It is kind of weird that his mom told him never to stop until he busted a nut. That's odd maternal advice, I would say.
Yeah. I think we're agreed that this is Lord of the Rings, but, So let's like prove it out real quick before we get into the next song. Because I do like your King of the Dead thing, Machiavelli and this Illuminati. So, Sean, this section he says, and God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. That would be his one begotten son would be Aragorn.
I think that's what he's talking about there. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then the come with me, Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now. Do you want to ride or die? Is him saying to his fellow ghost warriors, like, look who has come. It's Aragorn. It's our chance to redeem ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
And I mean, honestly, they're riding and dying.
Yeah. And I guess is there an added threat, sort of like, if you lose in this battle, you will die?
They're actually looking for death.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you will die and move on.
Yeah, you're finally escaping. But I guess I can see the idea of like being released from your eternal ghosthood, you know.
Right.
It's a way of like actually being allowed to die.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to ride or die? Because you can parse that phrase ride or die a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
You can say, do you want to ride or die? Like as one thing, it's like, do you want to engage in a mission in which you will either succeed or be killed?
Yeah.
Or it can mean, do you want to die or do you want to ride?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's sort of saying, as in like ride or die to me is like, are you 100% committed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that phrase means either way, because it's sort of like, even if you're parsing it as a choice, one choice to be made right there, where it's I'll kill you right now, or you can come on this mission.
Yeah.
Even in that case, it's like, you're going to have 100% committed.
Yeah.
You
know, commitment. And I think even when he says la, 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 after that, that works because there's a lot of sort of like random singing in Lord of the Rings that doesn't always have like a lot of meaning to the syllables. So I feel like that's his sort of tribute too.
And it also even kind of feels joyful in a way. Like if he's looking at it like, oh, come with me. Like this is our chance to finally free ourselves from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this
he would be happy.
La, right. La, la, la. Yeah. And this is like a common thing, you know, these like they're hitting the little flutes and stuff as they go into battle. It's like, well, if you're going to get killed right now, just look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a hero.
Yeah. You
know? Or at least you're fulfilling your obligation. You know.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think Hail Mary by Tupac. Because Tupac is, you know, he's a well-read guy. He's super into Kate Bush and Dom McLean. And he went to performing arts high school in Baltimore. Yeah. He's, you know, he's an educated guy. And he was always looking to learn and expand his horizons. I have no trouble believing that he was a Lord of the Rings fan and that he furthermore would be capable of pulling off a conceit like this. In this same album, he has a song called Me and My Girlfriend, which is a beautifully done song about a gun in which he just talks about how much he loves his girlfriend, but everything that he's describing is obviously a weapon. And he does a perfect job. The songwriting is excellent.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty comfortable. How do you guys feel about that one?
I think
that Hail Mary by Tupac featuring the Outlaws is about Lord of the Rings and the Tupac role is being played by Tupac's inhabiting the King of the Dead. I think it's great. I don't necessarily need that yet, the Mary Doc part, because it's, you know, he's just singing about the, you know, cause,
about a last ditch effort. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he says, come with me, he's not talking to Mary Doc. He's talking to his compatriots saying, like, we will go.
You know? Yeah. I just thought since they're heading to Mary Doc,
that's true, I guess. Yeah. But hold on, do they head to Minas Tirith or do they head to the Dark Gates?
Well, they go onto the mountain and they get the boats and then they sail the boats to Minas Tirith.
Oh, okay.
They cut off the reinforcements, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And in the movie, they get all the way there
yeah.
and they wipe them out.
Right, because we want to see them clash against the orcs and everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Or the Uruk-hai. Yeah. Cool, yeah. Fantastic. Wow, we cracked it. That was a real toughie. And we can move on to song number two. This is a real toughie as well. Friends in Low Places. This is released by Garth Brooks, written by Earl Bud Lee and Dwayne Blackwell in 1989. Garth Brooks was working as a sort of demo guy at a record company or publisher at the time. And these two guys had been feeding him songs to just record demos for them. And then he got a record deal. He recorded a whole album. They gave him this song too late for him to put it on his first album. They tried to sell it to a bunch of people. It could have ended up with already more established country artists, but luckily Garth got a hold of it for his second album, released it, and it was a huge hit. And I've said that I'm going to include all the links to Spotify and Apple Music to listen to these songs, but you can't really listen to Garth Brooks' music. You have to go buy it. He's not on Spotify. He's not on Apple Music. Where is he? Is he on some platform?
I think it's Amazon Music, because I know that years ago he had originally licensed his whole catalog to Walmart, like exclusively. Mm-hmm. And I think that deal ran out. And I think he might be on Amazon Music.
Yeah, like you can't get him on Spotify or Apple, and consequently there are tons of other people. There's like dozens of covers of this song that are pretty much sound-alikes that you can listen to on Spotify, and but I'm not going to include those links because those don't go to Garth. And I guess I'll include whatever Amazon, so you can purchase an MP3 of this song.
Yeah, that's a low place. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that necessarily goes or flies in the face of the message of the song itself, but it's pretty close. additionally, in this song, there is a third verse, mysterious third verse that I'll just do the lyrics and then I'll include the mysterious third verse at the end here. Here are the lyrics to Friends in Low Places, written by Earl Budley and Dwayne Blackwell, 1989. Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show. I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes when I took his glass of champagne and I toasted you and said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain. Because I've got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. I think I'll slip on down to the oasis. Oh, I've got friends in low places. Well, I guess I was wrong. I just don't belong. But then I've been there before. Everything's all right. I'll just say goodnight and I'll show myself to the door. I didn't mean to cause a big scene. Just give me an hour and then, well, I'll be as high as that ivory tower that you're living in. And everything after that is repetition. The mysterious third verse is just the same as the last verse, but it says, hey, I didn't mean to cause a big scene. Just wait till I finish this glass, then sweet little lady, I'll head back to the bar and you can kiss my ass. That is the version that he says live, and he said that that was a little more in line with the way he would feel at that time. And so, in a sense, those are the only lyrics to the song that Garth Brooks himself wrote. Mm-hmm. This song, I think, I'd say in the classic interpretation, the two subjects of this song are class conflict and alcoholism.
You guys, it's a country song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does that sound about right? He's saying that he's a cowboy. He doesn't belong in quote unquote polite society, whatever that means. Yeah. And partially either because he's a drunk or he just is also a drunk.
Yes. It's interesting you have that live performance link to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's bananas.
I think it's the Grammys because I remember seeing it as a kid and just being like really befuddled at why it was being presented in this way.
It's just minutes of people coming and going. Like it's so insane.
Yeah. So in this live performance, I'll include a link to it in the show notes that he did at what looks like the Grammys. And Gary Shandling introduces him. and then he basically, he's at this cocktail party. We can't it doesn't seem to be a wedding because, like you were saying, this seems to be a simple story, but Especially since Garth Brooks did not write this, I tried in my mind to strip out the Garth Brooksiness and just see with the lyrics just as they lie.
Yeah.
What it could be about, and technically there's no guarantee that this is about a wedding. It's just a fancy event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee that he's even talking to, that he was even in love with the woman in question. He may have been in love with the man whose champagne he took.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's quite possible. He's the one who's most afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also, I'm going to say, there's no, the only gender they've specified in this song until the bonus after the fact third verse is men.
Right.
He doesn't say she. He says, you know, his eyes,
your little
honey,
man.
We may be through. But I kind of think that's why he added the third verse, so he could specifically make it a woman and say sweet little lady.
Right.
Because
this is the only time the gender of the person he's actually addressing is mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to jump ahead, but I think it's a butt sex song.
You think it's a butt sex
song? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys both think it's a butt sex
song. I think it's like specifically kind of a rough trade situation where this is a richer guy, this is a fancier guy, and you know, the boots are what attracted them to him. Like I got friends in low places. It's almost like saying, I know a guy.
No. Yeah, for sure. It's like the origin of this song apparently is like Bud Earl Lee and Dwayne Blackwell were at some diner and their food was wrong. So one of them said, like, don't worry, I know somebody, and he knew the cook, and that's where they got the idea.
Oh, that's their friend in low places. Yeah.
Yeah. So the cook was his friend in low places, where there's always a surprising amount of power and influence.
Yeah.
I personally think he's fucking both of them.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Yeah.
He shows up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And they're having a, because it seems like either the guy's scared and he's like, holy shit, that person's here.
Uh-huh.
And that could either be like that the guy whose champagne Garth takes could either be his ex-lover or his ex-lover's new lover.
Yeah.
Right.
He may even be like the third wheel of like a triad that gets left out in the cold because he is so different.
Yeah.
These two people are moving on.
Sweet little lady, I'll head back to the bar. And he's like, and you can kiss my ass. So it's like, it's still like, he's still getting a salad toss right of the song. Like
his only kind of, so Garth Brooks adds about like 20 words to the song and they involve analingus.
Yeah. So,
and
I think it's interesting that, like, I know Garth Brooks didn't write this, but there was something about it that really appealed to him. And I think there's just a certain duality to Garth Brooks. Like, he always says he's a little bit rock, but he's a little bit country. You know what I mean? He's a little bit straight, a little bit gay. And then he had a totally different alter ego that he released an album with. That's with Chris true. Gaines, who Chris was like Gaines. And Chris Gaines, if you look at him, he just kind of looks more, he's like an emo version of Garth Brooks.
Yeah. He looks more bisexual
for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And people didn't respond to it, and I think part of that is Garth Brooks, that was his attempt to like test the waters and just be like, will they accept the real Garth? And
you think
the answer was
is?
No. The answer was no. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this song is about alienation and community. He's saying, like, I'm not successful being part of community A, so I'm going to go with community B, where I'm accepted.
Yeah. But also, he's upset that, you know, his lover won't acknowledge him either.
He is very progressive. He apparently has a lesbian cousin, and he's fought for marriage equality. He appeared on stage with George Michael in 2000 for the Equality Rocks concert. They did a duet of Freedom 90, and they hugged and had a great time.
He was great on SNL.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He did that one sketch, Old French Whore, where he played an old French whore.
Hold on, Garth Brooks did this?
Yeah.
Oh,
his SNL hosting appearances were
good. It's really good. And the musical guest is, of course, Chris Gaines.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's great.
I wish I had seen this before the pod. It's Garth Brooks as an old French whore.
Yeah, I think it's just called Old French Whore.
Yeah, put it in the show notes.
I'm going to put it in the show notes, even though I haven't watched it yet. I wish I could just...
If you get a chance to see the episode, do it. It's very good.
It's like one of the true surprising ones where you're like, oh, I didn't know this guy had it in him.
Yeah.
The Rocks is, of course, like the prime example of that, where it's like a wrestler hosting, and then it's just like, oh, this guy's actually a movie star.
Yeah.
We didn't know that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always surprising when people that you don't think are going to be funny are funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a bunch of recent examples. I think Ariana Grande is really funny too, right?
She's
like surprisingly funny. Now, there is another like style of looking at this. If you look at what he says about this low place, he doesn't actually say anything positive. It just sounds jubilant.
Yeah.
but in fact, the only thing he says about the low place is that you get fucked up there. He doesn't say like, oh, and people understand.
It's a McDonald's drive-thru.
It's not like, the Cheers theme song is where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying about this low place. He doesn't say anything good about it. He just says the whiskey drowns and the beer chases your blues away.
He's acknowledging that it's shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also acknowledging his disappointment that he's not included in the other place.
It's either that or go get cucked.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. If those are his options, he's just going to go back to the dungeon, I guess? Is the BDSM dungeon?
The Ivory Tower dungeon?
Yeah. Huh. Right. Or, because there are drugs involved, or alcohol, at least, where he's like, I don't think that... Whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away is like a metaphor for butt sex or anything. It's just...
Chasing your blues away, busting one, That's what I call it.
Is that what you call it? Chasing... I gotta go... Yeah. Like...
The blue balls.
Blue balls. Okay. There you go.
Now, the only other, alternate... I couldn't really figure out a heroin exact... I mean, he talks about getting high, but...
Yeah, but I think... I agree. You'd have to sort of think of alcohol as a metaphor for heroin.
Yeah. Now the one I can see this is there's a Lord of the Rings argument. I think the narrator's got to be Gandalf.
I've got several. I think that's a good one. Go for it.
Because so he shows up at a lot of places and he's very different from Saruman, who actually literally lives in an ivory tower.
Correct.
But Gandalf is constantly going up to Warren Kings and talk to him, like him going to Rohan, and they just throw him out. And he's like, but Gandalf's like real talent among the wizards is like, Radagast just goes totally native and he's with the animals.
True.
Saruman would have been on like the Epstein plane if they'd had aviation in Middle Earth. Like he's just getting with the hobnobs, like, oh, you guys not using this tower? I'll take that. Yeah. And Gandalf like just hangs Man around the people. He's the only one who acknowledges hobbits. So him taking the glass of champagne, I can see that as sort of like breaking Saruman's staff almost.
Okay. Yeah.
But he literally uses, guys who own bars and like grooms, people who take care of horses and guys with boats. Like that's his network of people is, I got friends in low places. Yeah. I hang out in fucking Bree all the time.
That's true. It's like a truck stop basically. Yeah. He's like one of the most powerful deities in the land. And he just likes to get fucked up with the common people.
Yeah. But I still think the butt sex is a little stronger. Just because Gandalf seems like he wouldn't quite have the reaction of like, the original verse. I don't feel like Garth Brooks' Kiss My Ass edit is as much about Gandalf. But give me an hour and I'll be as high as the ivory tower you're living in. I'm sure when Saruman kicks him out, Gandalf's like, well.
Yeah.
Back to the pipe weed,
What do you think on that one, Aaron?
I think the butt sex argument is stronger, but I think the Saruman is like the only like to me, like the only clear
link
for Lord of the Rings.
Because the Ivory Tower. Especially.
Right. For the most part, we don't meet like a ton of common people, too. It's like true. Hobbits and then,
Yeah, and if you're thinking of low places where the whiskey flows and the beer flows, that's the Shire. I mean, that's probably the best version of that. I think if you're talking about the class issue stuff or people who feel unwelcome in certain places, you could do a little bit of Gimli. He's sort of one of the last of his kind. Doesn't feel comfortable in
Lothlorien. He could talk about. Can't remember the name of those caves that have the beautiful rocks in them, but
yeah, it could be Faramir as well. He doesn't feel comfortable in Minas Tirith. He wants to be out with his riders. You know, he's not welcome. Lives
in a cave. Yeah,
yeah. Radagast is a little bit like that. He's like, fuck you guys, okay, get out of here. And also Melkor himself is a little bit like that because Iluvatar is like, Melkor, shut up. And he's like, well, I'll go start my own universe over here.
I got a friend. He's a Balrog.
Balrog, you ever heard of it? But it's not so much a tower. And he doesn't go off to hang out with other people. He just goes off and mopes by himself. Whereas Gandalf runs off and parties with whoever.
Yeah.
But this butt sex thing is very tempting as, as a theory here.
It feels very much like, I'm going to this dive bar because that's where you picked me up in the first place. Cause you were looking for rough trade,
And like we said, there is no mention of a woman in this song, even though it seems to be there. It's not there until Garth adds Sweet Little Lady, You Can Kiss My Ass to it in a live thing, maybe just to cover the tracks a little there. And again, this was written by Earl Bud Lee and Dwayne Blackwell.
Two great names.
A great couple.
I kind of think that Garth Brooks has been hinting at this in his career. You know, he's got...
Yeah, with the Chris Gaines.
Well, and like his biggest album's called No Fences, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Garth is... He's a modern man. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's had it in the ear before.
Well, I mean, in later works, he definitely talks about, like, a woman. Yeah. But that was also... Maybe that's, like, covering up for this. Because, like, that summer was, like, a huge song where he talks about a young boy fucking an older lady.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Calling Baton Rouge is, like, he's talking about calling a woman he loves in Louisiana. So maybe it is. He's just kind of covering his ass.
Yeah.
And he has said, because a bunch of like high school senior classes had this as their senior song. And like, I think there was a little bit of a controversy there. And he was like, guys, it's a cute song, but like, this is not a manifesto. This is not a credo here. Don't just get fucked up and have that be your identity. He sort of walked back the themes of the song a little bit and advised people not to have it as their personal credo.
I think I said this before the show. We sang this song in my junior high chorus, like before at a concert for our families. We sang The Friends of Low Places, and it fucking killed. You know what I mean?
Fucking killed. Yeah, people kill with this song.
People in the Midwest love hearing children sing about drinking and fucking.
One of the reasons children drinking. This is one of the few country songs that you can kill with a very cosmopolitan urban audience. No problem.
Everybody it's a great karaoke song.
Yeah.
It's like a great end of the night karaoke song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think we got it. Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places is about butt sex.
Yay! Yeah. We got him.
Gotcha. Solved. So thank you very much, Aaron. We are going to move on to a new segment of the show.
Very excited.
That we should all be very excited about. And you listeners should be excited about too, because we are going to decide the next two songs for the next episode right now.
Yes.
And this will give you all a head start. So after we pick them, then you can immediately think about it yourself or go listen to it and come up with your own theory way ahead of time. And then when we do them on the next show, we'll have your arguments to include. So here's the list I have of songs that I think might be appropriate. Tell me what you guys think about these. And let's pick two of them.
Okay.
I've got I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus,
mm-hmm.
okay.
which includes him, her tickling him and under his beard and stuff.
Okay.
we've got the 12 Days of Christmas, which is full of all kinds
that
of
that has a lot of potential.
Weird symbolism. I, obviously, when I recite it, I'll just recite each thing once. we've got Good King Wenceslas, which is pretty exciting.
That's a deep cut. Yeah.
Which is sort of hard to hear, but it's about like a king taking a beggar out of the snow and like bathing him up.
Okay.
For some reason.
He's a good king.
He's a good king. Yeah. We've got It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Okay.
Which is sort of about the you know, sort of revelation of Noel to the world by angels.
Okay.
We've got What Child Is This? It's sort of like the confusion of what you know, discovering.
And it's to the tune of Greensleeves.
Oh, there you go. So that's two songs in one, maybe. Yeah. We've also got Auld Lang Syne, which is a sort of a from like the 1500s and is a sort of a Christmas slash New Year's song.
Yeah.
And has very old, like almost Middle English style lyrics in it. We've got We Three Kings. We've got Do You Hear What I Hear? I think those are the like a lot of the really, really juicy ones because I kind of went through these and picked out. I guess there's also God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
I kind of feel like Wenceslas has a lot of potential just because it's such a weird one that people weird. Like.
Yeah.
yeah. All right, let's do Good King Wenceslas.
And the 12 Days of Christmas.
12 Days of Christmas. Yeah, that would also be good. Yeah.
Okay. That's all weird shit.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So for the next episode, we are going to do two Christmas songs. We're going to do Good King Wenceslas, and we're going to do the 12 Days of Christmas. And I'll include links for that too. Hail Mary by Tupac is about the King of the Dead and Lord of the Rings. Addressing his followers on the arrival of Aragorn so that they can fulfill their oath and finally die all the way. Friends in Low Places from Garth Brooks is about butt sex. thank you very much for coming on, Aaron. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
And everybody go check out this bizarre podcast. Again, do not do it while you're already on drugs. The Lanalax Corporation. Available everywhere, comes out 5 days a week, and it's a trip, y'all.
It's a Lanalax Corporation.
Lanalax Corporation.
Yeah.
And check out his album, Secrets, on iTunes and Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Please weigh in on those Christmas songs, what you think they're about for the next episode. Can't wait to hear your responses. Wenceslas seems... He's up to something. and we will see you very soon again on Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. Richie Molano here, Sean Keane, and Aaron Brooks saying goodbye. Nice to see you, boys. Guess all we're going to mosey on down to the Oasis. But we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah.